F2A. Number 15A.
Well, we are in my epistle book on page 98, and in the middle of the page you come now to a scientific law. That's usually then the last main point that I present, namely that the law that Paul presents is naturally always presenting it in the symbolism of his time and adapted to his circumstances, whereas the law is never really limited to one example, but it's fundamental so that it can be used in every situation that is fundamentally similar to it. So from this point on, I try then to show how we can lift out that law which we had before on page 92. We had that law before. That was then showing it as Paul was showing. But now we must see that we lift it out into the present situation so that it can apply in numerous ways and situations. In order to do that, I first state, usually after the scientific law, first the standpoint of that law, namely the 2A, which means Christ as the Word, namely the Christ reflecting the Word. So this is now putting it into scientific language. It's no more faith. It is now showing Christ as a category and Word as a category, namely Christ in absolute Christian Science and Word in Christian Science. And on that point, I go on and try further down, where I have a standpoint again. I try to put that standpoint, the Christ reflecting the Word, into, again, metaphysical language. Namely, when we accept our conscious unity with the Christ, that's the Word, the Christ manifests itself to us as the all-sufficient Savior. That's the Christ. Now, you would say, well, why do I state further up? I state that the Christ reflecting the Word, but now when I read it, it was reading first the Word and then the Christ. Well, there you have to be careful. Do you know what I... Could you follow? That in the middle of the page I had the standpoint, the Christ reflecting the Word, and then further down, again standpoint, but the text read first what I stated about the Word, namely accepting our conscious unity with the Christ, that's the Word attitude, and then the Christ. So then the Christ, namely Christ manifests itself to us as the all-sufficient Savior. Now, we have to be very careful that we see that grammar does not follow spiritual syntax, that the grammatical syntax is something very different than the spiritual syntax. When one has to express something in terms, that is in the nature of a law, you sometimes just can't put it clearly by using the same order. If I would have put it in the same order, the English rendering in a sentence would not have been nice. I could have put it, and I could have said, the Christ reflecting the Word is what? And I could have defined that standpoint, namely, that Christ manifests itself to us as the all-sufficient Savior under the condition that, and then I would have to put the Word, that we accept consciously the Christ. Can you see? Then I would have adapted English syntax to the spiritual syntax. Yeah? Sure? Got it? No? Who didn't get it? Yeah?
I didn't get it.
You can get it.
I don't get that.
You don't get it. Okay. So I repeat it again. In the middle of the page, we have Christ reflecting the world as a standpoint. And we remember that, huh? In the matrix, it was Galatians, was Christ, vertical, horizontal, world. Yes? And we also said, or we didn't say, and if we didn't, perhaps I didn't say it, but that, it's just right that I can say it right now. When we speak about the matrix, so this is a general statement now, when we speak about the matrix, say of the 4x4, of the 7x7, then we give to the vertical the dominant, and to the horizontal the secondary. What is the secondary after the dominant? Well, you know what I mean. The first is always what we state is vertical, and we give to the vertical the dominant, the main point. And then the second one is more the relative point and no more the dominant. So here Galatians in the Christianity matrix has the dominant as the Christ, vertical, and then the horizontal, I must put it like this from your side, horizontal is the word. Therefore, if I would state the same thing in English and say, what is the Christ and what is the word? If I would have to explain the same thing in the same order in English, Christ as the word, I would have to say something first about the Christ, which is the dominant. Namely, that in Galatians, the dominant is that the Christ manifests itself to us as the all-sufficient Christ. Yes? Now I would have to state the horizontal, and then my language doesn't fit anymore. I have then to say, under the condition that, or under the circumstance that, or under the preposition that, and then state the word, that we accept our conscious unity with the Christ. That's not nice. So we start better in by saying, well, what have I to do? What have I to do? What is my approach? My approach, therefore, is first stating the word that when we accept our conscious unity with the Christ, what happens then? That's the precondition, so to say, from the human standpoint, you see. So when I had to define the standpoint, I had to turn it upside down. I have to change the order and first talk about the word aspect and then the Christ aspect, because that is then the logical order of cause and effect. The cause is that I first must have within me a conscious unity with the Christ. That's the presupposition. And only if I have a conscious unity with the Christ and I have accepted that within my consciousness, then only I'm one with the Christ, and then only then the Christ can come into me and abide with me. Then the Christ manifests itself in us, as what? As the all-sufficient Savior. Yeah. So this is what Mrs. Eddy also says in Retrospection and Introspection. She has a whole article, well, it's just half a page, on this subject, that really spiritual order does not follow grammatical order or grammatical syntax, that is something very different. Therefore, one must always, when one reads English or any language, in translating it into metaphysical meaning, we have to, mostly we have to change the order of the sentence.
Max, would that be something like Pennsylvania Dutch? When you say things backwards in English.
It may be like that, but I can't tell you because I don't know what Pennsylvania Dutch is. Yeah. But that's You see, that's also the difference in languages. When German is translated into English, usually they have to turn the sentence upside down. They have to start with the end and then with the beginning. Whereas we in German, we have another construction. We usually start with the beginning and then follow. So this is something that one just has to be aware of. So if you read this, for instance, at the moment I read it, I thought, well, you have difficulty. And I read, when we accept our conscious unity with the Christ, you would say, well, that's the Word. That's not the Christ. And the standpoint is, Christ as the Word. Yeah? So you have to see that grammatical order is not the same as spiritual order. Now, when we have stated that standpoint, then we can say, all right, let's put it into its elements so that we see what are the clear-cut elements that cannot be changed in that standpoint. The moment we divide it up into elements, naturally we get a law, a scientific law, because a scientific law is always that which tells us what are the elements and what are the relationships. So on page 99, we have in italics the elements of the law. So I cut it up, and here again you can see that I start with Roman 1. When we accept our conscious unity with the Christ, that would be the Word in Christian Science. Second, then the Christ manifests itself to us as the all-sufficient Savior. That's now the Christ in absolute Christian Science. So up to this point, you have the same thing as in the standpoint, only that I have now shown through Roman 1 and Roman 2 the elements of it. Yes? Then I have done something which is legitimate to do. For practical reasons, I have put Roman 3 in it, namely, what does it do in the human? What does it do in the negative? Or what are the conclusions in the negative? Because we always live mostly all the day in the negative and with false concept, with human concept, with material opinions and so on. It is very good to point out what is really that which is wrong in our consciousness. So I added here Roman 3 in as a further element which is implicit in the second one, implicit, included in it, namely, it invalidates therefore reliance on any other so-called saving agent. So if I have an all-sufficient savior, then that implies that there is no other savior, no other saving agent. And it's therefore very good to realize in what kind of saving agents do I usually rely in my practical life. To bring that out and to bring it from undercover is therefore a practical reason. So in this way I would have a very practical way of dealing with a situation through those three elements. Now we come to the most important point. Now, I always seem to say now we come to an important point. But this is now really the most important point, I would say, namely the elaboration of that law. The elaboration of that law means what? Means that we take the generalities and substitute those generalities by bringing in specifics. If we have the generality of Christ or the all-sufficient Savior, then this is a generality, because we know that Christ operates through the Christ order. So that's already more specific. If I say there is a unity with the Christ and with the all-sufficient Christ, then I have a generality. But I can now show the tones in it, the shades in it, and say, well, the Christ is the Christ of principle and the Christ of life and of truth and of love, and he's the Christ of soul and of spirit and mind. He's the Christ of the seven. See, so I already begin to elaborate it. I already begin to substitute other ideas for the super symbols that I have in the law, like the Christ. Is that also understandable? So whenever I say God, I can put in place of God, I can put the seven synonymous term. If I say Christ, I can say, well, the Christ is also operating, namely through the seven synonymous term. Yes? Or if I say man, then I can also substitute it and say, well, instead of man, I can say the idea of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And so every time I take, instead of the generalities or of the super symbol, so to say, a specific, then I unfold what is embedded in the generalities. And so the law becomes more specific, and we see that. Is that clear too? Yeah? What I mean with generalities would be God is a general term. And actually it does not mean much until I specify it and say I substitute it with the seven synonymous terms. Let's see how that works here. And so I've always given just examples. And here again I must say something that one should remind or remember. What I have then put here as elaboration of the law are just an example and not the only way to elaborate it. It is an example again. I give again bananas and horses. But the 2 and 2, 4 is stated in the law. Yes? So, and why should I do that? That's now the point. Why should I do that? Because we have seen that if one has to explain something, like Paul had to explain that circumcision and uncircumcision, had to explain it, he used just that one symbol, namely the old paradigm and the new paradigm through circumcision and uncircumcision. But that is only one example. Today we have in our daily life, we have many examples. We come up against many suggestions that the Christ is not sufficient, that we need another savior. We all rely on thousands and thousands of saviors, and not just on one. Therefore, it's good to bring them up and see that we can apply the same law to the multitude of examples. And so we can... I always have difficulty in English with that term substitute. I never know is it right when I say I substitute God with the seven synonymous term, or should I do the opposite? Yeah? Is it still understandable? In place of God, I put the seven synonymous terms. Yes? There is something I know. But I use that term substitute sometimes wrong. So you know it when I use it right and when I use it wrongly. But in both cases you know that what I mean. That I take a general term and put in place of a general term many terms that are synonymous with that general term. Yes? Okay. So instead of saying just the Christ, I can put in place of the Christ, I can put the principle that has a Christ, later on life that has a Christ. So here in principle, I could see the following law. Now this, what I stated here, must be seen as Roman 1, Roman 2, Roman 3. When we accept our conscious unity with principle, yes, that's Roman 1 in the law, then principle manifests itself. You have now Roman 2 starting. Principle manifests itself to us as the all-saving, and now instead of the generalities of the Savior, now I state the specific of the Savior, that we think that it is a system and science. Principle expresses itself through system and science. So it operates not only as it was with Paul, as interpretation and preaching, that was his specific idea of principle, that he had his revelation and interpretation from principle. Here I can state, instead of an idea of, like the idea interpretation, I can take any other idea of principle, yes, like system and science. So this would be Roman 2, and because I feel this is not perhaps practical enough for the students, that he doesn't really overturn him properly enough to see that he relies on many other saviors, I bring in also the negative side of it, namely Roman 3, and invalidates now the use of, now comes the wrong saviors, like medical, hygienic, psychological, or spiritualistic systems, or spiritualism. Can you see? I have as a positive system and science. Therefore, as a negative, I must take all the negative systems or sciences, and not just the negative. So all that I have here, medical system or medical science, hygienic system or hygienic science, psychological or spiritualistic system, they're all opposite of the true science. Or spiritualism is the opposite of a true system and science. Roman Catholicism, Jesuitism, Judaism, yogi, Eastern philosophy, psychiatry and psychology, astrology, and so on. You can go on and on and on, occultism and so on. They are all false concepts of science. Can you see that? So you can only read my books intelligently if you read them with tonality, you see. I start out, say, with a positive, and say I can say about principle, I can take any idea of principles, that's a further development, and say, all right, I know principle as science and system. Okay. Then science and system is the all-sufficient Christ. I don't have to rely on any other savior but the science and system of Christian Science. Which, out comes Romans 3, which invalidates the very opposite, the counterfeit of it. So I have to state the counterfeits of system and science, which is all the isms and ologies and so on. So that you have all the negatives there of a system, not just negatives of principle. I couldn't just say, well, that saves us, say, from material power or material government or something like that, because that would not be the opposite of science and system. I said, I only give examples. That means that you yourself can use the same law with other ideas of principle. Can you see that? Now let's, what could we take instead of science and system? What could we take, for instance, under principle? We could take, say, government, and say, well, if my problem is that I feel that the government of God is not good enough, not powerful enough, not the savior, that I need another kind of government for solving a situation, then I would take up that law again, and I would say, let's read now principle if we would take government. And I would say, when we accept our conscious unity with principle, then principle manifests itself to us as the all-saving, and now you have to change, huh? As the all-saving government of the world. Huh? And then we will go to Romans 3, and this would invalidate relying on what kind of government? Huh? I would have to say, then that invalidates that I see the Savior in what? In a political government, in an economical government, in a personal government, in a government by the rich, or by an oligarchy, or by anarchy, you say, I think you say. See, I would take up all the other kind of governments. So the moment I feel that, the government of God is not good enough, that has to be supported by another kind of government, so that the government of the world must be put into the hands of people, of democracy, of capitalism, by the government of through democracy or through oligarchies or through an economic government or through autocratic government or anything like that. I feel, well, there must be a firm hand there somewhere in Washington and so on. Then I go back to the works of the law. I go back to the old paradigm and say, this is also necessary. I can't work it out alone with God's government. That's not good enough. That's up in cloud nine. Then I negate Galatians. I do the very thing that the Galatians were doing, and Paul was scolding them and said, no, look here, you have to rely that no matter what's going on in the world, there is still the government of God working. And that government of God is still all-sufficient. Don't try to rely on any other kind of government. Yeah? So can you see, it's just that specific law which says, where is my heart, where is my trust? Is my trust in the fact that God through his Christ is all-sufficient? Or don't I trust that?